Welcome, Maharaj. So please unmute yourself, and if you can just welcome Maharaj with three loud Hari Bols. Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Over to you, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Let me ask you, can you all hear me? Is it,
yes.
It works. Good. So I thank you very much for inviting me. I have seen a few known faces. Many of you I remember. I've seen Sankirtan Priya and Bhakta Sem, who always looks so pure, and other known faces. So I want to address you all today on some of Prabhupada's principles which are important for us to know if we do any type of preaching, especially the bhakti vriksha preaching, which is also known as bhakti sangha or congregational preaching. So I thought the way we can make best use of our time is that I will give a 50-minute talk, and then we will have questions and answers. I just require for a moment, Gokrishna, when can you just write down when? Give me a timetable. That what does this translate? So yeah, I it might be good if some of you have a piece of paper and a pen next to you just to write down references from the Shastra so that you can read them again in your own time. Let me start. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyadi Shatadine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Please all join me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is very important when we speak of preaching to first of all connect with the essential motivation behind it. A motivation, or you could also say an intention, that informs us. You can preach from many, many places. One is you want to make members. Second is you want to raise funds. Third is you want to maybe prove that Krishna consciousness is right and establish other philosophies as wrong. But the most important, the most powerful intention of a preacher must be compassion. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his Jaiva Dharma that the mood of compassion is the dharma of each single Vaishnava in this world. If you think only about your own benefit, if you only think about how you can make progress, you only think, I, it is not much different from a materialist who also centers all his efforts around I. In Krishna consciousness, we have to come from the place that we do something for the benefit of others. The Bhagavatam informs us, Dayaya Sarva Bhuteshu, that's the fourth canto, where the Lord says that by acting with compassion towards all living entities, the Supreme Lord Janardana is satisfied. Janardana means he's there in the heart. When I talk with Bhakta Sem or Sankirtan Priya in a way that I want to uplift their experience of Krishna consciousness, Krishna, who's there in the heart of these, of all living entities, including these two, which I have singled out, is very quickly satisfied. What have you done today which was helpful to another person? This question needs to be asked. Prabhupada makes it clear that the greatest help is to help someone come free from ignorance or avidya. In Krishna consciousness, this term avidya doesn't mean I don't know how much the how to speak Japanese, or avidya doesn't mean I don't know what is the newest on the pandemic restrictions. Avidya doesn't mean that I don't know maybe mathematical calculations. Avidya in Krishna consciousness means I don't know myself. To not know the self is avidya. And it brings very quickly after it asmita, false ego. And then as we say in English, when the self is lost, everything is lost. So from then on, you cannot make progress. So the preacher wants to be compassionate. That means he wants to spread Krishna consciousness to help people come out of avidya, the ignorance of the self, which is the reason for the repetition of all this birth, old age, disease and death, the material misery. That must be our underlying motivation. That must be our intention. Otherwise, we are not really preaching. I've read today a study where it came out that religious people in general tend to be 80% less compassionate than ordinary people. You might think, wow, what is this number? Why? Well, and devotee who's not compassionate judges others. Oh, these people eat meat, these people drink wine, these people do all these things. He is judgmental. He says, as you know, these bad, evil-minded kamis, you know. A compassionate devotee is different. He will think, I must do something for the benefit of others. It's completely different. Please don't think you're a devotee, you're automatically compassionate. It could be that you're a devotee and you're automatically not compassionate if you don't get it right. So this is very, very, very important. And if you wish to know more about compassion, I invite you, I do every Tuesday a compassion meditation based on the Bhagavatam, because that helps us to come to the real level of spiritual life. That helps us to overcome the false ego. But I don't want to talk too much on this one principle, because there are other principles. It was during the Mayapur festival where Prabhupada invited all his leaders to a morning walk. At that time it was possible, there was a path which led down to the Ganga, and he was going with his GBC members in Tau down to the Ganga, and he asked them how the service went. And in the beginning they all said, oh, we opened this new temple, we distributed this many books. But eventually the discussion turned in another way. They said, well, these devotees are not so much cooperating, and we do have the problem with the ladies who don't want to be married, but the men, there are not enough men. And they spoke about devotees who had challenged their authority as GBC. It went into such a, complaining mood. All of a sudden, Prabhupada stopped. He had been walking in the front, and he turned around to face every single one, and he said something which shows how important compassion is. He said, you all have come to complain. Only I have come to encourage. Now imagine to hear this from Srila Prabhupada, and that's really a very strong statement. And then he continued, you all have come to complain. Only I have come to encourage. He said, in other words, just to make an emphasis, the same sentence twice. This is what a preacher is. He compassionately, mercifully encourages the conditioned souls. Please take to Krishna consciousness. Please move on in Krishna consciousness. Give up your fear and anxieties, and so on. Everyone on this call, this is unfortunately you have invited Sachinanand Swami, so I can't be different from Sachinanand Swami. I'm inviting you. I'm asking you a question. What have you done today to encourage someone? Each one, single one. I'm looking at each single one. What have you done? And today is still, the day is still going on. You have a chance to do something. Maybe you want to make a phone call to someone. Maybe you want to, if you live with others, say, wow, I have something to share with you on Krishna consciousness. I read this in the book, and so on. This is preaching. By encouraging someone, you empower them to act on the spiritual platform. It's very important to have this mode. And yes, you're making notes. Next, if you ever invite me again, I will ask you, what did you do? I'm sorry, what can I do? This is my nature. Good. Now we want to move forward and really understand, when we want to share Krishna consciousness, what do we do? What of Krishna consciousness do we share? How do we do it? When we meet in Bhakti Vriksha circles, how do we conduct a Bhakti Vriksha meeting that is encouraging and that's inspiring for everyone? We want to study this. No, we want to be practical. So I've thought, the best way to do this is, let us study how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought people to Krishna consciousness, and let us study the purpose, how Prabhupada thinks about it, and what are his recommendations. There is a very nice passage in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where you can find this out. Those of you who have pens and paper with you, please do make a note. It is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 7. And let me see, where does it start? Yes, it describes a visit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a village and his preaching there. I will tell you where we start. We start in Madhya Lila chapter 7, text 129. I will not go through all the texts. I suggest each one of you reads this passage for after we have done the session, for better comprehension and for summarizing the point. We find here that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a classic visit. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this visit. He said, "I have described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings elaborately in the case of the Brahmin Koma," that is the Brahmin whom Lord Chaitanya visited. "By studying this exchange, you can know the dealings of the Lord in all other places on his tour of South India." Now who's this Brahmana and what is this visit about? It's a, how do you say this? It is a template. Of all his other visits. All other visits looked like that. Well, the Brahmin Koma lived in a Koma village that was called, it was called after the deity who was worshipped there, Lord Koma. And he had a family, he was a married man, in other words. And one day he happened to visit the temple. And in the temple, he noticed there were many, many, many people. And he wanted to find out more. Why is our temple so well visited today? It's not an official festival day. And he made his way through the crowd and he saw before the altar a golden complexioned sannyasi. He was very tall. And he danced and chanted, and tears were coming from his eyes. And like everyone else, he was spellbound to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His Mahaprabhu's beauty and his, you would say in modern English, his charisma, or in old English, his effulgence, his was so attractive that everyone just stared at him and forgot everything else and became so blissful just by seeing Lord Chaitanya dancing. Sometimes the tears from Mahaprabhu's eyes shot like from a syringe and people became wet, but they didn't think it is a disturbance or a problem for their cloth. No, there was ecstasy. They became ecstatic. So the Brahmin became also attractive, and he, after Mahaprabhu's darshan of the deity, Mahaprabhu had somewhat, so to say, calmed down his ecstasy. He said, "Would you kindly consider to visit my home?" And Mahaprabhu accepted the invitation. And quickly, the wife was informed. She had already been cooking, but she enhanced the numbers of preparations. And when her husband came in, came, she saw the most amazing personality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And immediately the Brahmana knew how to receive his exalted guest. They had a foot washing ceremony of the Lord. They sprinkled the water over all the members of the household. I can imagine neighbors also had come in, and they served. The Brahmin said, "I feel like Sudama, Vipra, who visited the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but only in this case you have visited me. It is a favor which even Lord Brahma has not received." And then he said, Mahaprabhu was very pleased with his reception, with the prasadam. You know, they were all extremely pious devotees of the Lord Kurma. He was very pleased and he accepted all which was done. And then the Brahmin said one sentence which immediately changed the atmosphere. He said, "My Lord, I'm tired of material life. I want to go with you." Mahaprabhu became very stern. He had been smiling and accepting. Now he was very stern and he said, "Never speak to me like this again." And then he gave his instructions. He said, let me read this to you. "Never speak like this again to me." And he said, he then made the point, "I have another program for you. You should do the following." It is text 128. "Yare deko tara kahe Krishna upadesh ama agyai guru hana tara edesh." He said, "It's better to remain at home for you. Chant the holy names of Krishna there always. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. My dear devotees, this is the seed verse, the personal instruction of the Lord, how to conduct the Bhakti Vriksha program. And let us go to Prabhupada's verse now, instructions now. He says, this is the sublime mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Many people come and inquire whether they have to give up family life to join the society, but that is not our mission. One can remain comfortably in his residence. We simply request everyone to chant the Maha Mantra. And if one is a little literate and can read Bhagavad Gita as it is in Srimad Bhagavatam, that is so much the better. These works, and Prabhupada then speaks that the works are now available in a very authoritative English translation that will appeal to all classes of people. And then he says, very interesting, every person must get married. he also said this to his American devotees. This is best except for the few monks who stay in the ashram, obviously. For them, he gave different instructions. No, and then Then he speaks about following the rules and regulations, and then he says, the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to elevate human society to the perfection of life by pursuing the method described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his advice to his to the Brahmana Koma. That is, now listen. One should stay at home and chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. And then one should read the instructions of Lord Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. You need to study scriptures. Here it is so good that we have the Bhakti school. I think many of you on this call are familiar with their work. Here the devotees really make available first class scripture study. First class. I have seen Sutapa's presentation on the Bhagavatam. I was spellbound. Every Saturday we came religiously before the computer. We listened to this. We took ample notes. And then we also went into the Bhagavad Gita study, which he did. And now we know. So the Bhakti school can help you to really study and understand the scriptures. No, understand so that it's easy for you to share it with others, that you can easily conduct meetings. So when you And then the last is to instruct others. Let me now translate this in a Bhakti Vriksha context, these three instructions. How should you hold a meeting? Well, first of all, you start with kirtan of the holy name. You chant, and that will make everyone very satisfied. Some of you can learn to play instruments, harmonium, why not? You're not dead. You can learn something new. You can learn some instruments. Or if you are not so musical like me, you can play kartals and sing. No problem. Everyone can sing. That's the first thing. Then you open the books. You read them. How to read the books? You read a verse, maybe you have looked what verse is there that has a very inspiring message which everyone can easily become absorbed in. So you read a verse and which you have selected carefully. If you do not know so many verses, you can ask the ashram devotees in the Bhaktivedanta manner. They can say, why don't you take this verse? This is of a highly inspirational content. Like for instance, I always like to talk about the verse Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna. It comes in the second chapter of the Bhagavatam. Maybe one of you who is computer expert can quickly find it. Sankirtan Priya, I think you can do Shrinvata Svakata Krishna. The first canto, second chapter it must be. So while Sankirtan Priya is looking for it, he will soon put the verse in the comment section, and then we can take a note of that. My dear devotees, I have done many, many, many Bhakti Vriksha meetings while reading the verse and then the purport and then asking everyone, this is very important, after this to share their considerations, their thoughts. You can also circulate the book. That means everyone reads one passage. And then when person A has read the first passage, he gives the book to the person B and he reads it. Here's, we have seen 1:2:17. Huh? You please take this verse is sparkling or will spark immediately very, very engaged discussions, especially the purport. Prabhupada speaks about things in the purport which are just so, oh, so stimulating for the mind to think, so that there's something to talk about. And there are many, many other verses, and the older devotees can help you to identify such type of verses. So you started with the kirtan, you have read in Prabhupada's books. Now discussion, very important. Without discussion, there is no reflection. And without reflection, you cannot remember anything what you have read. It will be just in one ear, out another ear. Reflection stops the how do you say, going through the ears, so to say. And then you know, oh yeah, and you have discussed it from various, what do you think? And the new person thinks, oh, isn't that a little difficult? And then the more advanced person says, it is difficult, but this is what I did to overcome the difficulties. And wow, you have an engaged discussion. It's very, very good. The next thing, and with this, you are already in the third instruction of Mahaprabhu, that is to instruct others. And you will see everyone is very pleased by following this simple process. It is the sublime mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Truth is always very simple. These are three things which you have to do. Anyone can do it. It is very simple. And any one of you will become very enlivened just by doing it. And do it with the foundational mood, the foundational principle of preaching. What was it again? Who of you knows?
Compassion, right?
Yes. Sam knows everything. Compassion. No, yes. What we talked in the beginning. No. So this is, if you do it from this place, I can guarantee you, you will have a wonderful experience. Good. Now, this, my dear devotee, this was what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, not only in Komachetra, the village where he met this wonderful Brahmana. He did it everywhere, in every village. And he then said, if you follow this instruction, your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. It means materialistic life here means, you know, earning a livelihood, you know, the cooking, the eating, the things we do in order to maintain our lives, that will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. Indeed, if you follow these regulative principles, he means these three principles here, no? We will again meet here, or rather, you will never lose my company. You will always be in the presence of God. My dear devotees, please believe me. Some of you look at me as if I'm telling something which is not true. It is true. Today itself, we have seen this. I woke up, I chanted my rounds, and then I woke up a little late, unfortunately, today, but I chanted my rounds, and then I invited the members of the Gaura Bhavan. I mean, they came, and we studied in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter. We studied what you need to do to come to spiritual knowledge. It's called the processes of knowledge, the processes which help you to get enlightenment. We did it, we read it, and then I asked the devotees, there were now so many processes given, where would you like to know more insights? And they said, I would like to hear more about self-control, Another said, I would like to hear what it means to discuss that material life is actually a problem because it's there's birth, death, disease, and old age. And I said, okay, and read to the devotees the explanations of Srila Prabhupada from the purport. And then I said, what do you think? And then they discussed from various angles. We had a blissful beginning, and when we stopped, did not take much long. We were all in blissful Krishna consciousness. I immediately went to do a podcast and did other services because I felt encouraged and inspired, and so did the others. Gaur Krishna cooked a wonderful meal today. Yes, he knows to cook. He's known as Cook Prabhu in the Gaura Bhavan. And it's not easy every day to cook, but he felt encouraged, and I heard it was a wonderful. It was a wonderful meal, and in this way, yes, it is. And now we have a good basis in our life. We have chanted, we have read the scriptures, we have shared the scriptures. Now we can take over the world from the Gaura Bhavan. We feel so inspired and encouraged. I'm saying it a little joyful, but I think you get the idea. This is what helps everyone. Simple formula, very effective, very effective. And of course, when we do Bhakti Vriksha, we serve prasadam. But be careful, not that only the prasadam you do good and everything else is bad. I have seen many Bhakti Vrikshas which have become eating clubs. Hare Krishna, nice Gujarati kitchen, but no nice chanting, no nice kirtan discussions. And everyone has increased only, not their Krishna consciousness, but their weight only. This is not good. This is not good. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, please excuse me, but I have seen. So now I wanted to say that there are other types of preachings also, and Prabhupada has described them in a very, very wonderful letter. I will identify the letter for you, and I will request our Sankirtan Priya to find it, and maybe it can be sent to each one on this call. It's a really amazing letter. Let me first read a little from this letter. It is Prabhupada spoke about how to preach to those who are not yet in Krishna consciousness, but who need to be still convinced. Bhakti Vriksha is usually for devotees who have already some faith in Krishna consciousness, not the person in the college who has never heard about Krishna consciousness. But still, because Mahaprabhu has instructed we should share it to everyone in a mood of compassion, we need to also know how to preach. The secret of preaching will be to engage the people as they like to be engaged. Suppose I have got some education. I'm a business student, or I have got some skill or talent. Suppose I'm a typist or a musician, or something like that. So, I will like to utilize these things for Krishna only if I'm encouraged in a certain way, very tactfully. And I must not be discouraged by too much forcing me at first to accept everything of shaving my head, rising very early, going for street sankirtan. No, I must be not be forced by these things. No, Prabhupada speaks like a student. Let me come gradually. Let me first study Krishna consciousness and see how it is practical and sublime. And gradually I may get some taste for the other things and agree to do them voluntarily and intelligently. We are not dogma or like army camp. For no, we are servants of Krishna. That means, because we understand that Krishna is our protector under all circumstances, we have no more any anxiety. So we become very liberal and tolerant of all kinds of seeing others' sinful activities. And we see them innocent victims of Maya. And we try to help them understand what is the real position of life. So in this letter, which you can find, Sankirtan Priya, it's a letter addressed to Shukadev. It is written by Prabhupada while he was in Ahmedabad on the 13th December 1972. I really find he gives a very nice instruction there, which we can study on our own. Our Sankirtan Priya is finding at us. Maybe, Go Krishna, you can even... Do you have the reference? Yes. I suggest you send it to our Sankirtan Priya, and he can send it to all of you somehow, or I don't know how you organize it. He can send it to the organizer of this call. Who is the organizer of the call? I think the devotee who addressed us in the beginning, right? Bhakti. Yes. So he can, the co-host can receive the letter, and then you can please send it to all the devotees on the call. Yes?
Sure, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj.
Good. Here in that letter, you get good training how to preach to all types of people. Two things. You don't force them. You give them a chance to understand what is Krishna consciousness. You share Gita and Bhagavatam with them. And then you engage them. You tell them, do this, do that. And by this engagement, they become identified. This one process to engage a person in Krishna consciousness makes them committed eventually. To let them do some seva. I remember when I came to the temple, I was very full of myself. And the devotees asked me if I could wipe the floor of the temple room. I'd never done such an activity in my life. You know, we come from a household where there were servants. This was not done for. I said, I don't know how to do that. What? How old are you? I said, I'm already 17 years. You don't, you are 17 and don't know how to wipe a floor? My good boy, it's time for you to learn this. So they, one devotee told me how to wipe the floor. And I thought, wow, something changed in my heart. And I applied this. You know, there is one devotee in Krishna consciousness. He's a professor. Krishna Chetra Maharaj, he teaches at the university. He knows everything practically. And he always describes the way he came to Krishna consciousness. He just wanted to come into the temple room, see what is the Hare Krishna movement. And he saw me wiping the temple room. At that time, my main service was translating Prabhupada's books from English to German language. And I was wiping the temple room, and I was on my knees, and I had a red head because so much good circulation was going on. And I was wiping. And he thought, my God, he's so blissful wiping the temple room. What is the secret here? And I said, I'm wiping the temple room for Krishna. And Prabhupada said, if you wipe the temple room, it has a psychological effect. You purify your consciousness. and I'm doing it, and I feel it. And he said, can I try? and I engaged him in the, wiping the demo room and told him everything, you know, how to move, how to wipe the corner and that corner, and how to remove any contamination on the demo room. And he said he never, he then traveled on, but he never forgot the blissful demo room wiper. And he eventually became a devotee. He's a professor. He knows everything. No secret is, nothing is hidden from his mind. But he sees, yes, wiping. What a concept, to wipe the temple room, to have a psychological purification of consciousness. Amazing. And so on. Engage people. That's the idea. But don't force them. Engage them. I remember when Prabhupada visited us in Germany, there were many more people who wanted to see him than there were slots, you know, for this. And we said to him, to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, there are many more people than you can see during the day with all the other things you have on your schedule, by which we need to choose some people and leave others. By what criterion should we choose those who can see and speak with you? And he says, bring those who already have done some service, something for our movement. And we said, well, there's this professor who said something good about Krishna consciousness and published it. Yes, such people I will see and meet. No? This is because when you engage people, that's one step on their way to come to Krishna consciousness. But first, before you can engage everyone, you have to convince them about the sublime message of Krishna consciousness. Study this letter. Really, it's a nice, it's very nice reading letter. And I believe you will get it. It's somehow the devotees in England are extremely, they know how to do these things very easily. Good. Good, my dear devotees. I have ended 4 minutes earlier than that's rare for me. I would be now very happy to receive any questions from you. They may be related to this presentation, but they may also be related to your service in the Bhakti Vriksha. In Bhakti Vriksha, you can ask. And now, how will we do this? I'm accustomed, because I'm not such a computer specialist, if there is someone, like I suggest Sankirtan Priya, I know him a little bit from previous calls, if you see, or that was Bhakta Sam did it for Sutapa, that the questions come to one of you and then that person reads it to me and then I answer it. Can we do it like that? Sankirtan Priya?
Yes, we can.
So who is that person? You, please.
Yes, I can take field questions if devotees want to put on the chat any questions they have for Maharaj.
Good.
Can I ask if I can, for me?
Yes, of course. Please start like this. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you really very much for coming today. First of all, you know, I think, you know, we are trying to have different workshops, and this month we wanted to meditate on carrying forward the legacy of Srila Prabhupada. And this is how, I think, you know, when you sent that suggestion that you would talk about the essential principles that Prabhupada gave us on preaching, I think that was the best thing that, you know, we could ask for. So thank you very much, first of all, for that. The other thing that I wanted to thank you for was, I think you've given me today one mantra for life while we are serving Srila Prabhupada, because you talked about this morning walk where Prabhupada says, you all have come to complain, only I have come to encourage. So I have to admit, Maharaj, it has really touched me, at least, because, you know, hopefully we can get this mood in our services. And the question that I wanted to ask, Maharaj, is about, you know, like in our Bhakti Vriksha, we practically, what happens is we have different varieties of individuals, obviously, because everybody is different, everybody's journey is different. And from my experience, what I have seen is that sometimes they are not, even after spending a lot of time in the association of devotees and in the hearing and, you know, for like being in the congregation, but I still don't see them so receptive to following certain rules and regulations. And I see that they are very selective in what they can do and what they can't do in you know, following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And that's where, you know, we want to keep, you know, we want to encourage them, but we also see that resistance in accepting certain principles that Srila Prabhupada has given. So how do we, you know, balance that? Because one of the things that personally bothers me is that I just feel sometimes that I do not want to dilute the message that Prabhupada has given. Maybe I don't want to become, in encouraging them, that I become so easygoing that they start overriding the principles, the basic principles that Prabhupada has given. So I just sometimes find that, you know, act, balancing act, practically I find it, you know, difficult.
So good. Is that you have phrased your question proper? So if I understand correctly, you find that some people, even coming a longer time, have difficulties to accept certain principles which Prabhupada gave, maybe also the four rules and regulations, they have difficulty.
Yes.
And you don't, you now what to do? This is the question. What to do with these? You know, if you asked, yesterday I was preaching to two devotees, and one devotee was complaining about the other devotee, that this devotee did not use his time well and always looked one movie after the other again and again and again, and did no seva and so on. And I said to them, well, why is he doing this? He's doing it because he has not yet gotten a higher taste. Every one of us is, we all look for happiness. And if we have not yet found a higher taste, we will look for happiness on a lower taste, which involves us and entangles us. We are compelled to do this because that's how we are made. No one is, you can ask a person to do for a month something he has no taste in, but then his old proclivities will break through and he will go there. So Krishna consciousness works by giving a higher taste so that the lower taste can be given up. And as preachers, this is our this is what we are meant to do. Only preachers can give a higher taste. No other person can give a higher taste. Everyone else can give, don't do this, don't do that. That is simple. But to give a higher taste, that is what a preacher has to do. I know this puts immediately the onyx or the spotlight back on you. It removes it from the person who doesn't do anything. Have you been able to give the higher taste? This is very, very, very important. let us see how we can give the higher taste. Now, of course, it's lockdown, and usually festivals are good place, seminars and so on. But they can give, they can be done. We can relate this for giving a higher taste. We can also, if we are not so able to do that, give this to preachers like Sutapa, people, devotees in the Bhakti school. I'm such a fan of the Bhakti school because I have seen the quality of the presentations. They're very inspiring. It's very encouraging, and so on. So this needs to be done. Please read how to do this in this letter which you will get. Your husband will get the letter most properly, and then you can read this letter to Shukadeva, how we must first give the higher taste. Now, I know that it's disappointing when you see older devotees who are still so much struggling and so much attached here and there. I know it is disappointing. Maharaji, I'm a preacher since, I would say, 40 years now. This year is my 50th birthday. Yes! I'm 50 years serving Prabhupada by his mercy only. I consider this my real birthday when I started to serve Prabhupada. So I know. I'm, you know, when you do this so long, you go like, why are they such neophytes? Wow, why? Why is they still attached to smoking after all these years? Where's your brains? And so on. I know this feeling, but this is not what helps them. What helps them is, come on, we need to have a serious talk now about amongst men. Lock the door behind you. I want to know, what is your difficulty? You tell me, and I can give you an inspiration how to overcome it. There are things to do. Of course, sannyasis can preach more directly. You know, everyone is afraid when the Swami comes with his danda and so on. So sometimes when we are not sannyasis, we have to be more tactfully and come more tactfully to the point. But you need to encourage people. You need to inspire them. You need to help them. They need to feel that you love them anyways. Then they will say, oh, this devotee is... I've met so many people who told me, I know Sachinanda Swami, you knew that all my nonsense which I did, but you loved me anyways. Therefore, in the end, I thought, let me make the old man happy. I will also now do everything praka, and so on. No? They need to see the love of the people. Everyone is hard on everyone in this world. I read today in Prabhupada's explanation to this Svasyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam Shloka in the fifth canto, that everyone in material life is envious on the other, but the devotees are compassionate. We have to learn this. And when they see like this, then they will also, okay. It's, and give the example. Then they will see, you know, preaching is not easy. Woo! We have to preach to ourselves first, and then we can help others. Thank you, Mataji. What a good question. But I can't emphasize with your frustration or your disappointment or your feelings of hurt. I invested so much into the person, and nothing comes back. I know, but try one more time. Try one more time.
Yeah. So, Maharaj, I was just coming from that point that I just sometimes feel that, you know, there's a phrase we say in English that one bad apple can make more bad apple.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
I only fear from that side that it should, because, you know, it's a human nature. Good habits, we don't pick up very fast. Bad habits are very contagious.
Yeah.
So it just makes me sometimes feel that We don't want to make a community where we are just casually following things. We should be very alert to what Srila Prabhupada has given us. We should be very have a lot of gratitude of what we have. And that's the kind of mood that we want to build. So I just come from that point that
I understand. I understand, Mataji. I understand 100%. And whenever you see that one bad apple has made another apple rotten, you have to find some ways to put everyone in place, you know, so that no more apples will rot away. I think you, yes, many considerations are there, but I come from the place of making the bad apple a good apple, you know, that is by encouraging him and so on. But there are some people, I know what you say, and sometimes they are so, they want to infect other people with their nonsense. So then you say, you can talk to them, maybe Prabhuji, maybe there is another place for you where you have to be a little careful. Talk with older devotees, because you don't want to have troubles with people. I thank you very much. We need to go to the next question, but thank you. I understand. Yes, Sankirtan Priya.
Thank you, Maharaj, again. At the usual moment, my laptop crashed, but I've managed to find a letter, and kindly Gaur Krishna Prabhu has sent it to us, and it's on the chat window as well. Thank you for amazing, amazing class. I do have one question with regards to the relationships that you mentioned about developing the loving, non-envious, compassionate relationship with devotees in guiding them in their journey of Bhakti Viksha. Now, Bhakti Viksha is a year-long program in the first instance, and we meet on a weekly basis. Now, devotees often share with us their struggles, their lives, and that's Bhakti Viksha is exactly to help them through their spiritual life as well as their material life, especially with leaders in this space where we can't but help them to move across in their spiritual life as well as help them in their material life. So I'd like to know, learn, how do you manage that balance between helping them in their material challenges, but actually also relating that to their spiritual aspects, relating it to scriptures on a regular basis, to say, as we engage more and more with the scriptures, is how we will be able to purify ourselves enough that the material aspects will not get so, you know, infected to us so quickly.
I will give you an example. I visited yesterday a couple who had severe marriage problems. I mean, really severe. It had over like 4 years, the problems had in that marriage had aggravated to such a degree that they were not able, that they were not seeing how they could solve it. But at the same time, they also could not think about separation because they have children who are still not on their own feet. They go to school. The oldest, I think, is maybe 12, 13 years old, and the youngest is younger. So they knew, they're devotees, that this will really be very bad for the growth of the children. So I did two things. One, I know I needed to help them materially. And I said, look, I am not an expert on marriage counsel. I'm not in that ashram myself where I don't even understand so much about the male and female psychology and why problems arise. But I strongly encourage you, we have this marriage counsel person who is really good in this, who knows the psychology, who's also a trained counselor, he is experienced how to do it. And please be willing to solve these problems, because otherwise if you don't solve them, your life will be hellish and the life of your children will be hellish, and you won't be able to move on in your Krishna consciousness very. So when there is a material problem, don't run away from it, but see, can I help here? Or if I cannot help, try to delegate it to a place or an institution or anything who can help. Very important, don't try to do surgery if you don't know how to hold the scalpel. You know, if you tremble, don't do surgery then. Send the person to the proper surgeon. The other thing is, I try to relate their lives to Krishna consciousness. I took a verse from the scripture, which I felt addressed the main problem here and gave a solution. And so on. I will not tell you the verse because I'd have to be a little confidential, you know. I cannot talk about a counseling session in public. That is, I would lose my integrity as a preacher. I gave them an understanding how, you know. You have to come from the material platform to the spiritual platform, and once you are on the spiritual platform, you feel more energized and intelligent to go and solve whatever problem is there on the material problem, on material level. No. So ultimately we know, as long as we are on the material level, there will be problems. Therefore, Prabhupada always said Krishna consciousness is the solution to everything. Because he said, he reasoned, wherever there is the sun, the darkness cannot stay. Think about this example. Think of a cave in Great Britain. Great Britain doesn't have many caves. Scotland. There are caves in Scotland which are very, very old. No one has even yet been able to discover these caves. And there is all darkness there. But the moment someone comes and brings one single match into the cave, it will destroy millions, darkness which is millions of years already there. Light is so powerful. So if you can bring people to Krishna consciousness somehow, they will lose their addiction. And I remember in the time when Prabhupada started the movement, addiction to drugs was a great problem amongst young people. And there was one magazine, it dealt with addictions. I think it was even called Addictions. I had the magazine, I used it for my preaching, and it said Krishna consciousness is successful in 97% of cases to help people come off drugs. 97% success rate. And people had to ask, why is this? Why is it so successful? No rehabilitation program. I have to say it again. Rehabilitation program. Forgive me, I'm my mother tongue is German, so my English may not be 100%. You have to concentrate more to hear. So, no rehabilitation program is that successful. You don't find this. 97%. Wow, that's almost everyone. No medicine is that successful. Why is it so successful? People had to ask this question. And Prabhupada's answer was, where there is light, there is no darkness. The 3% for whom it didn't work, they gave up Krishna consciousness. but if you, that always happens, but if you stay on the path, you will find, eventually. Eventually.
That's a phenomenal success rate, Maharaj. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Just absolutely amazing.
So these are my two answers to them. Materially, try, first of all help, you need to be compassionate. That's so important. You need to think, okay, this person is suffering due to ignorance and all its corollaries, you know, what comes afterwards. Attachments are one of the things which develop due to ignorance. And now let me see how I can help them. And Krishna will guide your intelligence. Sometimes it's you say just the right thing and Krishna gave you the intelligence to say it. At other times you just knew the right thing to do, like inviting them for an event, and that was the turning point in their life, you know. If you come from the platform of compassion, Krishna will direct your intelligence. If you don't come from this perspective, you may not know what to do. Is there another question? We have, Gaur Krishna has given me 5 more minutes. I have afterwards something, so I need to be on time, unfortunately.
Yes, there is another question. The answers you've given me has answered 3 of the questions already on the chat, which is fantastic. We have one question with regards to, or actually 2 questions with regards to this compassionate mood, and how we nurture that within ourselves, especially when we are new to leading groups. So not just new as devotees, we've been practicing for a while, but now certain members of the Bhaktivriksha group who've been going across the Bhaktivriksha team and process for over a year, maybe a little bit longer, they're leading groups. And so they're finding that in order to be compassionate, in order to be sort of sensitive to devotees' needs and aspirations in spiritual life, how can we develop that? Hence they themselves feel that they don't have that degree or that level of compassion that's required to lead such groups. That comes from Rahul and Gita, as well as others on the list.
Yeah. First of all, I want to encourage you, compassion is an underlying character trait that is inherent in everyone. It's not that you have to like a person to be compassionate. It's not that you have to feel close to a person in order to be compassionate. You just have to know how to access that underlying inherent quality in you. And here is how you can access it. But first of all, let's think about it. This, what I told you is not my speculation. There are studies out, one by this very, very well-known neuroscientist, Dr. Rick Hansen, who has found out everyone can be compassionate if they can just access it. I have even seen animals. I have seen a video, I was really shocked when I saw it. There was a duck who had received some duck food. Do you understand duck? What they are? Quack, quack, and they go on the... And this duck had received food, but there were some fishes which were there in the lake, and the duck was just, you know, here was the, let me see, here was the duck standing here, and here that it went down a step, and here were the fishes, and they were hungry. So the duck comes, takes the food, and throws it to the fishes because he felt the fishes are hungry, maybe more hungry than me. I'm a civilized duck, and the fishes are uncivilized fishes. They need some. I mean, ducks can't think many things, but even there was a mood of helping. Now, I agree, most ducks cannot access that mood. That's a very, very rare case of compassion in the animal kingdom. Usually they are very selfish. But I want to make the point, everyone has it. It is, and it comes out. For instance, if you find a blind man going on the, with closed eyes, of making his way on the sidewalk, is it called sidewalk? And the blind man stumbles and then falls down on the road, you will immediately feel, oh my God, he is a blind man, and you will be forced into this area of compassion which is with you, and you will most probably feel you need to do something or inform someone who can do something, and so on. And you don't know the blind man. You do not like him, nor do you dislike him. You just don't like him. But even a person you dislike, and this does unfortunately happen in our social relationships which we have, we may feel hurt for various reasons, there is a deeper place in you beyond or deeper than your dislike even, which you need to access. And here is the way. Now you need to pay close attention. Maybe you need to also make notes that you don't forget. The first step to access this deeper inherent place of compassion is to think about the equality of all beings. As the Gita tells us, the Pandit, the truly wise person, sees all beings as the equality, means the soul. You can see, just like me, this person has seen suffering. Just like me, this person has felt hurt. Just like me, this person has aspirations in his or her life to move on, to advance and so on. This person and me are very equal in one thing. We are souls trapped in a body. No, in a body and in a life. This is the first step. See the equality of all beings. The second step now is try to understand the situation, the place from where they are coming. This is called empathy, no? Why are they so upset? Why are they maybe so hurling difficult words at you, you know, and creating a difficult situation between you? Why? Well, most probably they are also disappointed in you. Most probably you have heard their fine sentiments, just like they have heard yours. Empathy. Try, in English you say, because we are now in England, we have to speak English, walk in their shoes. No? Do you know this expression in English? If you want to understand me, this is what the Native Americans would say. Walk for one day in my moccasins. Moccasins are the shoes for the Native Americans. You know, go to the places I go, meet the people I meet, have the tasks and the challenges I have, and then you understand. Empathy, it's called empathy, doesn't mean you agree to what they do. It doesn't mean you agree to the activities. It doesn't mean you agree to the opinions. No, not at all. It's also not about, please help me if I say it wrong, condoning their activities, you know. No, absolutely not. It just means to try to understand how they are feeling. Only that. It's a different thing. And then the third step is try to do something to help the other person. In some cases, which are very difficult, it may mean to disengage in the relationship, to say, most probably it's good if we make a little pause in our relationship, you know. That sometimes is there, but these are really difficult relationships, but most relationships are not that difficult. These are rare situations. See, what can I do? Is it maybe they need one of these amazing milk sweets from the Bhaktivedanta manor? You know, where one milk sweet convinces you that you have never tasted anything better than that in your whole life? Is it that which will give a sign to the other person that you care? Is it maybe calling them or, you know, or inviting them over to take prasadam? What could you do in that way? And then do it. That's the fourth step. My dear devotees, my dear listeners, I know we sometimes think, you know, I can't be compassionate. I'm not like Prabhupada, or I'm not like these compassionate devotees. I'm a troubled person myself. How can I, on top of my own troubles, be compassionate? Please take courage. Everyone can be compassionate according to their capability. No, don't try to imitate someone who is very compassionate. One very committed preacher, for instance, who's not even sleeping and who's doing that. That may be too much for you to sacrifice so much, but something you can do. And if you wish to learn, I'm not saying this to get you to look at my Facebook. This is really not my motivation. But every Tuesday we do a compassionate meditation, and you will see Gaur Krishna in the video singing. That's the reason to see the video. We will sing for 20 minutes, then we do for about 15 to 20 minutes a compassionate meditation. We explain something from the Shastras about compassion, and then we do a meditation which teaches you how to do that. It may be useful for some of us to just jump start you in this. You don't need to do this. I'm just saying this is what we do every Tuesday. Good. Now I have to just please allow me to look at the time. Oh, my dear devotees, I really have to do now something else, but I want to conclude in something. It was a genuine pleasure to be with you, because you and me are very similar. We are trying to preach. I'm also very much convinced of Bhakti Vriksha. I've done many, many programs and so on. I want to thank you very much for your commitment. I know Prabhupada would be so happy with each single one of you. Why do I know this? Because you're doing the family business. You do what he himself did, to try to maintain and support devotees and so on. So I'm very, very I'm admiring your service very much. I'm very inspired to know that you're doing this, and I wish you all the best. And you have a little task today to do something for the benefit of others. The family here, there's a family, you just need to turn around to your child and see what you can do for your child compassionately. And there's some in the Bhakti. Sam is there. You're sitting in the Bhakti Vedanta Manor. I can see by that, by the window in the back. So you may have to steal a Maha Sweet and give it to someone who needs it, you know. Yeah, every one of us, we need to maybe phone someone. Something we need to do compassionately for the upliftment of someone else in Krishna consciousness, in Krishna consciousness. So you have a task, and I will ask you, when I see you, I will ask you, did you do it? So you better do it. Otherwise, I will use my strong nature. No, don't worry. No fear, no problem. I thank you very much. It was also a genuine pleasure to see the devotees. I know Sankirtan Priya I've seen, and Bhakta Sem, you have conquered our heart when you were helping with Sutapa. You know, we were seeing you every. I have seen Rahul there, and I do not know all of your names, but some of you I have definitely seen. You know yourself, in my visits. I really hope that soon Gaur Krishna and me can travel. We have already an agreement between us. The first place we will visit when it's possible is London. We have made this our secret agreement between the two. Here is Gaur Krishna. Please look at him. He is your London person. All the best for everyone, and Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.
Thank you. Maharaj, we are very grateful. We are very grateful for your presence and very grateful for all the wisdom you have shared with us. Really, really thanking you for that. And we will try and live up to it, up to your instructions, up to your teachings.